Welcome to this week's episode of the Tourist Knows Best podcast. This week's episode features a very special guest. Don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at the Tourist Knows Best podcast.
So, we have a guest.
We have a guest today.
Who's wanted to be on the podcast for as long as I could remember.
Yeah. Our biggest fan.
Our biggest fan.
And our biggest criticizer.
Yes. At least it's constructive.
It is constructive. No. We do appreciate it. We do.
So introduce yourself.
Okay. Hi, pod. I'm Kimber Jacobs, if you must know my government name. And the way I know these two lovely hostesses with the mostesses is that I actually used to go to school with them. So we went to the same high school, but they were, how old are you guys? You guys are 18 this year. Mm. So you're 3 years younger than me. So 3 grades below me. And then I never really used to see Aisha that much, but I saw Tara like all the time.
Tara was everywhere.
Tara is still everywhere.
Yeah,
but Tara and I used to do current affairs together, and I always just remembered it was like, you know, like, there was like a good mix of like all the grades, low grades, but the low grades didn't really speak that much except for Tara. Tara like knew what was happening. No, but it was also nice to have like someone who was like, okay, it's not just all the like matrix or the grade 11s that are like talking about these things. And then Tara is like talking about AOC or Bernie Sanders, and it's like, wow.
You know who that is?
No, it's like, okay. Good to know that there's some hope left for the society after we leave.
They literally carried the society. Like, your matric class carried the society. And then when
on
you left,
backs.
And then
it went to
I was on the committee. And then we had, like, no one in 2020. And then in 2021...
Oh, I remember that. Like, the beginning of 2020.
No one was there.
Because only Taylor and I used to be there from our senior grade.
And then now we've recovered. Now we have the younger grades.
Good.
We convinced them.
Order has been restored to the universe.
Okay, so Kimber, this is actually coming out on your birthday.
I know. It's so special.
So happy birthday to me.
Yeah.
We had conflicting episodes for the day and we chose yours.
Yes.
Oh, I feel special.
So you're turning 21 this year.
21,
which
baby.
Is a big girl age.
It's a big, really is a big girl age. I feel so like a baby still.
Yeah.
And then like the other night, like a week ago, I was at my cousin had a thing at his house for his birthday. And like one of his friends was there, and then Swangle's just looking at me and she goes, Kimber, how old are you? And I was like, I'm turning 21. She goes, oh, you're a baby. And I'm like, yes, I am. I definitely still feel very, very baby-like. Where I'm just like, guys. And then I think, I'm in the last year of my degree.
That's insane.
Wait, is this your final year?
It's final year,
inshallah. Oh my God, that's insane.
I mean, it better be my final year. I'm tired of this course.
Okay, wait. I know that you probably don't want to get asked this question.
No, you can ask me. Because it's really what? What am I studying?
Yeah.
So I'm doing a Bachelor of Arts. I'm at UCT. I'm in my third and final year. I'm doing a Bachelor of Arts degree. And my majors are Gender Studies, History, and German.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And what are you going to do after university?
You know, that's the brilliant question. If anybody on the podcast who's listening has ideas or wants to give a call that just knows how to write and knows way too much about colonization and how that's affected Africa and the rest of the world, please give me a job or an internship. I would love that. I will work for maybe for free.
You need experience.
It depends on how close it is to my house. Like, I'm like, I'll walk, it's fine. Who needs food? I still live at home, I don't know why I'm complaining. And my mom won't like let me go starving. Even though I threatened something. I threatened it, I'm like, I'm gonna move out. She won't make me, she's too protective.
So, what do you think? Because the last, I mentioned this earlier, but like the last time I at least saw you, like really spoke to you, was like when you were in high school. And now you're like a grown adult. So
grown is adult is a strong word. Adult is a strong word.
Okay, but when I think 21,
I'm a baby adult, definitely.
Because like I feel like 18, 19, 20, I feel like
those were big girl ages, and then I was like,
I don't think
so. Do you feel now that you're 21, like you had this expectation of like this big girl thing, and
yes,
now it's like very different?
No, it's like growing up, like when I would like see like all the cousins or like all the family friends, I'd be like, oh, so-and-so is 21, and they're so grown up, and, like, they're at university and they can drive and they've got like, you know, so-and-so's got a boyfriend, so-and-so's got a girlfriend, and it's just, like, it makes sense, and, like, oh, they're probably gonna get married soon, and I'm just, like, I still think I'm 12 in my mind, I'm like, wow.
I think it's crazy, because we feel like that also.
We
do. Like, a similar feeling.
Yeah.
I felt like that when I was your age as well.
Mm.
And then, like,
I'm glad to know it carries on.
Yes.
Oh, no. Like, I'll probably still be 29 and be like, I'm baby, you guys. What are you talking about?
Because 29 isn't that old.
It's not.
Okay, but, like...
If I think of, like, my lecturers who are, like, early
30s. Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow. I'm like, wow, you've got your whole life ahead of you.
Mm.
And then, like, I can't believe that at the age of, like, 34, my mom... Two children.
Two.
And a mortgage. I was like... She had me when she was turning 34, so I just, classified
it. Mm.
But I'm just like, whoa.
That's crazy.
Because that's not really far from where you are currently.
Mm-mm.
It's a good, 9 years.
That's crazy.
And that's the next time I'm going to have to be worrying about this party planning stuff.
But, like, 20... Like, your 21st is supposed to be, the big one.
It is. That's why I was like... Like, also, just, growing up, I was, saying to my mom, the idea that I have had in my mind of, 21st, it's not necessarily the type of 21st that, Americans, portray in, their media.
Mm.
Because, obviously, for them, the big thing is, around being, the legal age to drink.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas in South Africa, not the same. And also before that.
Yeah, even before 18.
It's
not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I always used to be, watching, videos of British YouTubers who are underage and they're partying and they're getting and then they tell all these stories when they're my age now or they're over the age of 18, they're like, I don't condone underage drinking, guys. I really don't. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't condone this when you've made so much money out of your party vlogs?
Mm. Yeah.
And then it's that's so stupid. But then now when I think about it, I'm like, no, it has something to say about drinking culture in South Africa.
Mm.
The fact that it was you can ask me when was the first time I had my first alcoholic beverage? I don't know. Because then what does that mean? Is it the first time I had a sip of champagne on New Year's from my mom? Because that's going to be 12, maybe 13.
Mm.
And even say that I'm Jesus, that's terrible. I'm just no, you need to think about it contextually because it's if it's a sip or champagne or in my mind it's not a lot, mm-hmm. especially because it's I have to think about it in terms of religion because I'm Christian, I'm Anglican. And I received first Holy Communion when I was 12, maybe 11, I can't remember that much. But, so it was if I have a sip of wine every Sunday for a special occasion, how does that translate? And it's a whole other topic, underage drinking in South Africa. I'm not gonna shout at anybody when he's doing it, because who am I to judge. Mm. But it's also just something I think about a lot when it's I'm going to do with my children one day.
Do you want kids?
I do want kids.
Ooh.
How many?
How many?
So, when I was growing up, I would always be I'm going to have two. Because I come from, a family of, two children.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my sister and I. And our dog. We call our dog our sister. Because she is. She's definitely my mom's favorite child. and my mom says that. And then... So it's just I was two, because I want my children to have siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a little bit older and I was but three seems cute. Three seems a cute number. I'll have maybe the two oldest, more or less not too close together, because I don't, when I see people with a toddler, and then a baby, a newborn, I'm just
that seems a lot.
Yeah.
I'm oh my god, at least wait until your child can buckle themselves out of your seat.
You don't
knows
have to
how the fridge
once.
Works.
Mm.
You know, knows how the fridge works.
Yeah,
before. Because my mom, I was 6 when my sister was born. My sister
Ooh.
And I are, our brothers are, she's at the end of May and I'm in the beginning of April. So she was 5 turning 6. And even then, when I look at the videos of her with me, I'm who let this child hold me? There's a video of her trying to, you know those blow-up beach balls? There's a video of her trying to drop it on my head, and I'm like, well, this explains a lot.
But I think also a big age gap is that's also really difficult. Because my brother and I are 11 years.
And 15 years with him.
Wow. No, because I always said there's like a child in the background.
Yes, that's my brother.
That's cute though. No, because I can't think of that. But then I'm like, okay. So you have two older brothers, Aisha.
Yeah.
So what are their age gaps between each other?
Between Safwan and I, we 11. And between Yusuf and I, we 15 years. And they have obviously 4 years in between.
Oh, okay. So you see, like, I didn't like the big age gap between siblings when I was younger, because I always felt like that just made my sister more of a paternal, parental figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, ew, I don't like you. You're trying to boss me around. Mm-hmm. And then, but also it's just oldest daughter and brown household syndrome. I'm just like, shame.
Yeah,
I understand
that. Yeah.
And then when I would see like my friends who had like siblings who were 2 years older than them, and they were so close. But now I'm just like, it makes so much better sense to have like at least a 4 year age gap.
Do you feel like you learned a lot from your sibling?
Yes.
Yeah, same.
My sister's like, no, literally that woman raised me. I mean, not that my mom didn't raise me and my dad to some extent. You know, he was always there, but you know, dad. He did what he needed to do. He did the bare minimum. Shame, like, that if you ever listen to this, which I don't think you will be. But you know, he did his thing. But like, you know, okay. My mom was obviously a lot more, you know, mom.
Yeah.
And my sister as well.
Mm.
And, like, I think most of like sometimes I just look at myself and like the subjects I've taken at school, and like there's been some differential decisions that have been made that make my sister. But then at the end of the day, it's like we are very similar, we have very similar tastes, and I never know if that's just byproduct of who we are as people, because we have the same parents, and like, you know, just like hereditary interests, or if I'm just by like osmosis, like absorbing my sister's personality, which sometimes I feel like I'm like, what if I did this as a postgrad, and I'm like, you're turning into your sister, which isn't a problem, but I don't want her to think like, I have no problem being a clone of my sister, or like, I have no problem also admitting that like my sister is one of my biggest like role models in my life, and I have nothing against. I do have some things against being her, but it's more, it comes down more to like, this sounds mean, but fashion sense. She dresses well, but it's also like, I'm like, I would not say, I think I would say I'm the better dressed sister. But that's also debatable, because it's like, in theory, I am, but in practicality, sometimes I'm like, what the hell are you wearing? But I do have better makeup skills than her, which is why I just, like, that's, I'm like, ha. But, yeah, so, like, I would, like, see, like, people, like, 2 year age gaps, and then I'm like, I look at my mom, and I'm just like, imagine if you, like, think of, like, certain things that happen, like, certain financial cycles that happen in the household. I'm like, imagine if you had to pay for, like, 2 children's university fees.
At
the same time, I was like,
I know, that's
no
a lot
money.
Of pressure.
At least, like, with my mom, she had a break between high school fees, university fees, school fees,
high
school
fees. That
makes
sense. Yeah, that does. That makes sense.
So then I've always thought, like, okay, maybe I'll have, like, a 4 or 5 year age gap. So then also, it's like, you know, the other child can get the other child's school books. This one can get that one's blazer. Things like that.
You really thought this out.
No, I have. I'm like, that makes sense. And then it's like, then I'm also like, okay. But then I was like, oh, it'd be cute if there was like a light Lamaki baby. But then it's like, I don't want my older children. Because like my mom is the oldest. So the oldest daughter in a brown household. And then it's like, she had like the same, like, not responsibility thrust upon her. But in a sense she did, because it's like, you better work. If you're living in this house for free, it's like, you better help out. And like, my mom always says that the responsibility she took towards her younger sister is the same way that my sister took responsibility towards me. It wasn't like it was forced, but it was like, look here, you're older, you know better. Like, your parents can't be like, if your parents are working 24/7, like, you can't be like, they can't have eyes at the back of their head all the time. You have to like, so then I was like, I also don't want that to be a responsibility, especially if like my oldest child is a girl. I mean, just like, because like, also it's like I've had to do a lot of rethinking about like parenting in terms of like gendering, and also like baby names. I'm like, I don't mind my child. It's like, if my child just grows up and is decide like, I don't really want this name that it was given to me because I don't identify with it, I'm not gonna force it, but it's also like I would like to give my children gender neutral names if I can.
Yeah.
That are like, but also I don't want boys. I'm very anti-boy. I'm very pro-girl.
Mm.
It's like, it's fine if they are trans and they're like, later on in life, this is who they want to identify with. Mm. That's fine, but I'm not changing a boy's nappy. Maybe. And I feel like saying that, like I always say when I think that, I'm like, God's gonna strafe me and give me a boy.
Or like twins.
Speaking of, am I the first Aries?
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy.
You are.
I know, that's right. Twins, I always think like, oh, twins would be so cute because you just knock it right out. I was like, no.
Imagine carrying like two children inside of you.
Not so much, especially on your back. Mm. And then delivery, and then it's like,
and your responsibility.
Yeah. And then I'm like, if they're fraternal.
You really thought
no, about that? It's like, I don't know what the, I haven't done bio in like 3 or 4 years, guys. So like, and is fraternal when they, oh, so fraternal is non-identical.
Yes.
But identical is identical.
Yes.
So identical is when they share the same placenta.
Yes.
Yes.
And then fraternal is when they have two different placentas. I'm not giving birth to two different babies and then two different placentas. Hell no.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point.
But then if you have a boy and a girl, they can't be identical.
That's what she's saying.
Yeah, so like, it's all over that. And then I'm just like, also it's like if I... When it comes to like having biological children, it's like I would like to have at least one, just so that I could see what like a mini me looks like, or like half a mini me. And then I'm also like, that's so chaotic, a mini me. Oh my god, imagine! I'm like, should I be allowed to reproduce? should I be allowed to be another half Kimber running around being raised by a full Kimber? Like. That's a lot. Like, I feel like if my sister was there, she'd be like, but then it's also like I would like to adopt if I do want to have more children. Because it's like I don't want to just like be pop. Also, I cannot be doing that to my pelvic floor, like just popping out them kids. Like,
does something about life like this like to stress you out?
Like the childbearing,
and like after the children and the finances.
That scared me because like when I look at stationary prices, I'm like, every flipping year this child's gonna need a Walton's box.
Textbooks. Pay so much for my textbooks.
And we use like 3 pages of the book.
I have to get the accounting writing's horrible. She pays so much for me.
Yeah. But then it's like I've always wanted to be a mom. And it's like, I do want to experience what birth is like, even though, like, every time I go on Twitter, there's something new about, like, a symptom of birth that you didn't know, or, like, a side effect where it's like, your teeth fall off, your skin is darker than the rest of your body for you, the rest of your life, and I'm just like, I know this should scare me,
but it doesn't.
And it's because I'm a Cancer rising, so that's, like, very maternal.
Mm.
So it's like, I want to have a child. So then I'm like, yo, maybe just one child will be enough.
But you want siblings.
And it's like, do I want a child that's an only child? But then also when you think about it, like you don't live with your older brothers.
Mm.
And like when was the last time you did live with them?
2018.
That's when I was in grade 11. So you would have been like, what?
I was in grade 8.
Grade 8.
Yeah.
So that was the last time you... So it's like, okay, so it's not like you didn't grow up with siblings, but there was a very large
gap. Like, I don't remember much of, like, them, because we didn't really spend time together when they were in their teens and I was 6.
Mm. And then, like, for me,
yeah,
11 years of my life, like, I was an only child.
Mm.
So that's, like, a good chunk of my life. And then my brother, and he comes in, like, later.
See, so that, like, it's things like that, I'm like, maybe I should do it like that, like, give my time some time to financially recover. Baby. And then give the job, like, yeah, you're not the only lady around you.
But
now you must learn.
Where is this going to fit into, like, the timeline of your entire life?
That's a good question. Like, I never, like, okay, so when I was younger, I was like, yeah, you should have children in your 20s. Because also, like, I'm very neurotic. I have anxiety. And it's also just, like, I've always just been a very precocious child, like, mentally. Like, I mean, it shows in the fact that I was 7 years old and watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Is that when it started? Is that when the obsession started?
Because I was like, oh my word, I was like, oh, I love this. I was like, they're swearing, they're talking about like their sex lives, and they dress so nicely and fabulously.
Kimber wants to be a Kardashian. Kimber is a Kardashian.
I don't have a bum for it, but neither did they, technically.
So true.
You know, we take it as it comes. But like, yeah, I was like, just like watching them, and I was like, and I was like, I just like the fact they were very unapologetic about the lifestyle that they lived, and like the fact that they liked all this glitz and glam, which is something that, like, not I always got like chastised. I don't even know if that's a proper pronunciation.
I find it so funny. I use the word chastise in my oral. I don't know what it means.
Okay, but like, yeah, I always just felt like people would like be like, oh, because like when I was a thought, I always like walk around with like a handbag.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what the hell does a 6-year-old need a handbag for? Let me tell you what a 6-year-old needs a handbag for. My toy cell phone that plays the Barbie song. And the that song. Then I need my Spur wallet, my Spur Velcro wallet. That I have, like, my Spur kids card. And then, like, some random old Kate ticket from, like, Grand West. And then, like, the 20 rand my mom gave me to buy food at the duck shop, duck buy snacks. So that's what I need, and then I need like 13 different types of lip balms. Like the little parts that you buy at the store, the glitter one that just like is not good for your skin and gets stuck in your hair also. I need different pom-poms, I need a headband because I had a very big Blair Waldorf headband phase.
Oh,
I wasn't inspired by Blair Waldorf, it was inspired by one of my older family friends who could have been inspired by Blair Waldorf, but I guess we'll never know. And then, yeah, it's like, I was a very fabulous 5-year-old and 6-year-old. Like, I feel like I peaked when I was 5. And it's just been a downhill slope since then. Now, like, I look back at, like, videos of me from, like modeling up and down in the passage and being like, I'm going to be a model on the stage. And I'm going to model, like, dresses. And my dad's just like, okay. And I'm like, you see, this is why I was born to be a Kardashian, because you guys are like, they're always like, why is Kim always taking photos of herself? Why is Kim always posting about herself on social media? It's like, you created this monster. Don't even front about this. So, yeah, like when I was little, I'd be like, oh yeah, oh, because I'd watch a lot of like the E! Network. And then like there would be like the true Hollywood stories, or talking about how this one had like struggles with fertility because she was like in her 30s, and oh my god forbid a woman have a child in her 30s. Like sometimes I sit there, I'm like, oh my word, I can't risk like this whole, I'm like, what if I have infertility? And then I'm like, your mother literally had me when she was 33 years old. Let's not be concerned. And also the fact that, like, I don't know how old my grandmother must have been when she had my aunt, because my aunt is 8 years younger than my mom.
She had to be in her 30s.
She would have been, because I'm trying to remember how old this woman must have been. I think my mom must have been 24 when she got married, which she says was old. They were like, oh, she's going to be a spinster for life. They were like, because this is like the 1960s. And then they're like,
that's crazy.
They're like,
yeah.
Hannah is going to be a spinster for life, you guys. And then she married a man who was like 8 years older than her. And they were like, no, they were married for like 50 odd years.
That's cute.
Yeah.
24.
Could you see yourself getting married at that age?
At 24?
Yeah.
Don't be mad.
No, 3 years from now.
No. That's weird.
You don't even know what could happen tomorrow.
Like, that's on period, girl. You never know what could happen. It's like, if I... It's also, like, with marriage, I'm also just, like, very, like...
we were talking about this.
It's not the commitment that I'm worried about. It's like, I'm fine being with the same person for the rest of my life or for an extended period of time until we're like, this is not working out anymore.
That's a weird thing.
It's more like, do I want the government to know? It's like, I'm scared to even... I mean... It's like the idea of having to kiss a boy at the top of the aisle in front of my aunties.
Very awkward.
I'm just like,
that is quite awkward.
Like sometimes I just see when the bride and the groom hug, and I'm like, that's what I like. I'm like, here we go.
You couldn't know.
Exactly. Also because the idea of having to like plan like
weddings
now,
are so expensive.
It's so stressful.
Besides the stress that comes with me being myself and me being very like to some extent type A. My mother, like I realized this when I was in matric, like and was like coming to like paying for the dress and the thing, and like now again with like my 21st, it's like I love this woman, but I cannot deal with her. Her vision, it's like, also, yeah, I wouldn't want, it's like, the weddings, it's like, yes, it's cute to have something like a group of witnesses to be a testament to your love and your romance, but it's also like, I take it more seriously in like a, this is a partnership. For an extended period of time. I don't want to be naive and say like, oh, for lifers. Because I mean, if it's for lifers, then it's for lifers, but that's not really
the case for everyone.
That's not the case for everyone, and I don't know if that's the plan that's for my life, for me to be with. You know, so it's like, I'd rather do something more intimate where it's just me and the person.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to like, I don't want to face the know.
And you have to go stand in the line and
don't take so long anyway. They won't know.
I'm so like two-minded about would I even post a picture of me and the guy that I like? Cause not because it's like, oh, I don't want the evil eye, or I don't want like anyone like knowing what my man looks like. It's just like, I'm also just like embarrassed. I'm like, oh my god, I'm capable of having romantic feelings.
It's like you were one of those people in the mall who hold hands and walk.
No, it's like with PDA, I'm like, it's fine, but it's just like, oh my god, now people know that I'm a human and I'm capable of, and I'm like, I just find it so embarrassing. And I think it's like, I was thinking about this the other day when I was like walking to my bus, like on campus. I was like, I think this stems from like when I was in primary school, then like people would like be saying like, oh, I have a crush on Matthew, I have a crush on Joshua. And it's like, why would you say that? These are a bunch of fake bitches all around who's gonna go like Skinner and tell on you to that person. Especially when it's like, it's a very personal and private thing. Like I'm just like,
yeah, no, primary school tainted like my whole thing of like getting in a relationship.
Really? In primary school?
It's like I'll tell like a certain number of my friends like, oh, I have a crush on so-and-so, or I smack so-and-so, but then it's like, no. Are you mad? People don't even know me like that. I do not need to be perceived. Like, I want to be, I'm very, like, particular about how I'm perceived, which doesn't always translate to what I post on social media, because then I'm just like, does the world really need to know about my obsession with Britney Spears or the Kardashians? And then like my best friend was like, yes, I do. And I was like, you died. So then I just post that stuff.
Your Finsta is very funny.
Thank you. That's my safe place. That's where I'm like most vulnerable. And I'm like, hi besties.
Your close friend story too.
My close friend story, like on my main, it mainly just operates for stuff that it's like, this is too lame to post on my main story. Or it's too niche and therefore too embarrassing. Or it's just too odd, but I want it, but I don't want it to like the lines to get too long.
That's why you posted it.
Nice.
But you've been out of high school for like 3 years now. So you matriculated 2019.
That's crazy. And then 2020 came, boom, pandemic. I was like,
how was university in like a pandemic? Like your first year of uni?
It was awful. I failed like almost half my courses. Ended up failing three of them. So you take 8 in first year if you're a BA student or a BSOC size student. And it was really bad because before that even, from the beginning of matric, I was like getting like a lot of like academic burnout. And just like going through a lot of growing pains, like emotionally, just growing up. And then towards the end, like it was right after mocks, just before finals, my grandfather passed away, and it was very sudden. Like we weren't expecting, I mean, bless his soul, he was 85, we should have seen it come. But like, the thing was, at the beginning of the year, sorry Pa, if you're listening to this, sorry Ma also, or my auntie, or mommy, because they're the one that's going to have a problem with it. But, it was maybe, yeah. So my grandmother was the one that actually got sick at the beginning of the year, and she was in and out of hospital the whole time. And I so it was like if anybody was going to go, it was going to be her. And then just when she started getting better, like just overnight, my grandfather got sick. Like I think it was the Saturday, he got sick like overnight the Friday night. Saturday morning they took him to hospital. He passed away Sunday morning.
Oh, that's really fast.
And I think the last time I had seen him was like 3 weeks before, like just before final Mox had started, and I was just like, whoa. It was very shocking. There was a lot of grief, a lot of emotions that I had to process. Because besides one other family member who had passed away like 10 years ago, this year it will be 10 years, I didn't really have any type of like physical loss of someone like that. So then it was like dealing with all of that stuff that carried on a lot into like 2020, the beginning months. And although I was like working through it, I was also just very unhappy, and it was like the onset of a depressive episode, and then lockdown came and that aggravated it, and then I was just like,
and dealing with that and first year of university must have been a lot.
It was a lot, because also it was like I just felt like all this pressure to know like what I was going to do with my life, what I was going to, how I was going to. And I was like, I was struggling with some subjects. I was like, it's really difficult because I'm putting them on blast right now. The history department at UCT is so grimacar. Like, it's very obvious that it is a predominantly male academic department.
Yeah.
Because you guys suck. I'm sorry. And I'm not sorry because you give me so much grief and grey hair. If it wasn't for Amla oil, I would have all the grey hair. So it was like all the stuff, and it's so hectic, and my sleep schedule is also messed up because pandemic, and then trying to get onto this, and I just didn't feel motivated. I was burnt out and I was depressed, and it went on for maybe it was like the whole of 2020 and then half of 2021 until I went on antidepressants. Almost, it's been almost a year now. I think I went on in March. End of April, beginning of... no, not March. End of April, beginning of May. So it's been almost a year. And it was really that that, like, pulled me out of it. And now... And, like, second year went a lot better. Not a lot better. But I was on campus. I did get to move a lot more. My sleep schedule was still in the trenches. Now it's corrected itself. And I'm holding thumbs that it stays like this for an extended period of time because I'm not really too... go back and do like I can't work at home, it just does not work. Like I was like, I'd rather wake up early every day, fight with my brain to pick out an outfit that's gonna work, and then go to campus, even if it's get to like an hour or two of work done. It's gonna make me feel more productive
being in that environment,
being that environment, because also because I'm at home, it's like I'm gonna wake up late, I'm going to eat whatever I want, and that's also not going to help, because then it's like my weight's going to fluctuate, and then body image issues, and don't need that on top of this. And then it's also like I'm at home, my mom's on a call there, the dog's barking, begging for snacks every 3 seconds. It's like this is not a conducive environment. So I'm very happy to be back at campus, even though course is chowing and campus is campus. I'm very happy to be back full time. Because we are full time now.
Oh, okay, that's cool. How do you like your perception of like university be versus like what it actually is?
My perception of it. So, growing up, also like, okay, so I'm a first generation university student. My sister and I, my parents didn't go to university, neither did their parents. So, we were the first. And my sister was also the first, and I don't know if it was just because I was detached or because I, like, my sister would, like, work. Also, like, she had a part-time job when she was studying, so it was, like, didn't really see her work a lot. It was, like, she would go into campus, lecture, work, go to Cavendish, work. She worked the exclusive books. So she would work there, come home at, like, 9 o'clock at night, and then I talked to her, so then, like, I didn't really, like, see her, like, doing work. And now I understand, like, being a BA student, you have a lot more free time than other courses, than other faculties. So you are able to get a certain amount of work done at campus and then do so like later on in the evening. And it wasn't really until like I saw like my sister had like deadlines for like her thesis that she was like working through the night. Whereas I have been like working through the night, but that's also just like a different between my sister and I, where I've always been more anxious and type A about my academics.
Yeah.
fueled by a certain type of perfectionism,
which
was a lot of, like, in first year was an issue that I had. I was like, oh my word, I felt so awful that I failed a course because I couldn't set like my final assignment because I just physically couldn't, because all my stuff was due in 1 week online.
Ooh.
And I was just like, I couldn't, like, I was literally working, sleeping, and that wasn't healthy. And I just couldn't, I was struggling. So it was also like, I didn't even know if I can say like I had a glamorized or very different perception of university when I was younger, because I also really didn't know what to expect. Because it's like, it wasn't really something that's like, oh, yes, we know like all these people that are in university, but it's not really a topic of discussion.
Yeah.
And you just ask them like, oh, how's university going? Like, oh, it's going good, or oh, it's like really difficult, oh, I'm writing exams. But then that's when like the conversation cuts.
Yeah.
And like also having like parents and having been through this, it's like, I don't like university, I don't like it here, I don't like this, I don't want to be part of an institution, especially UCT, that is like probably the worst for their students' mental health, because there's so much academic pressure.
Yeah.
And my sister's just like my sister was like, I wanted to take a gap year between matric and university. And she was like, Kimber, there's no academic pressure. Like, it's just on you. And I'm like, that's how you perceived it, but that's not how I perceived
it.
Yeah,
no, definitely.
So it's like, especially like because of the school we came from.
Yeah.
It's something that you guys talk about a lot, so like I know the listeners will know. But it's like, it really is such a difficult thing to then try and get through with that academic pressure then being put into. It's like the pressure that we put in on ourselves, but it's also like we are just like brought up in this culture. And I think it's something, especially with like all girls schools.
We had a very competitive environment.
It's like, I was never vibe for like what you guys are doing. Like, I want all A's. I was like, I just want a pass. And I was like, I want to do well, but like in my head, like a 75%, I'm like, wow, I'm driving. I was like, I had my subjects that I cared about. I was like, you know, history, I want an A for this, I want Afrikaans an A for that, English an A for that. No, I'm gonna get an LO, an LOA, like, it's fine. But then I was just like, with maths, I was just like, I was trying to make 50. I don't think I ever made 50. I was like, 48% was like I got for my matric maths. And I was like, it's fine, because I made my life decisions, being like, what if I need to drop to do maths lit? And my mom very, she was like, it was only after the deadline, she was like, I thought you were going to drop to maths lit. And I was like, lady, don't make me angry right now. Do not. I was like, just no. So I don't like university, and I don't like UCT. Like, yes, it's given the friendships that I've made that I'm very happy for, and the connections that I've made, and I'm very happy for the jammy system. Because that is my bread and butter. It gets me, it literally gets me places. It gets me from campus to campus, to OBS, to town. It gets me where I need to go. So it's like, now it's like, I don't even know if I want to do honors, but then it's like, what the hell am I going to do with my degree? Like,
have you thought about like the field?
I have. So I want to go into writing, like,
journalism or like,
creative
or academic.
Not the fuck. Not at all. Like, no, it's just I want to be able to write what I like. Like, so it's like writing, like, this word is so but blog.
Okay.
I want to be in charge of like what I write. I want to write about topics that I like, and I'd like to like work with like certain publications. Like, this is so optimistic, but like Vogue. No, but like, you know, like those types of like magazines,
columns.
Or like have like maybe be like Carrie Bradshaw.
Yes,
because I love Sex and the City.
I love
Sex like, and I know we should all be Mirandas, but I really want to be a Charlotte. And Charlotte's the best character, fight me.
Do you really think Charlotte's the best character?
She's the one I like the most. Sometimes I'm just like, you are so naive.
Really like Samantha.
I love Samantha, but it's like, I'm also just like, I don't need to hear an old, like a middle-aged white lady talk about sex all the time. In this like verbatim. Like sometimes I like it, like it's very empowering where like she's on that whole thing where she's like, you're not gonna tell me what I do with my sex life. I will not be judged by you or the society. I was like, yes. And then, like, I like the old Miranda better.
Yeah, the old Miranda, like,
OG Miranda, I'm like, ooh, yes!
Yeah, no.
And then, like, this whole, like, in the new series, I'm just like...
I didn't watch the reboot.
I watched the reboot, and I liked it because I was like, I'm just glad to see these people on my TV after all these years, and to listen to, like, Carrie being like, I couldn't help but wonder. That night I got to thinking, like, I was like, I'm just happy to be here. I'll take what I can get, but I was just like, you know what, it makes sense. I feel like just, like, all the TV shows I've been watching, like, Euphoria, especially with season 2, I was like, so many of you are irritating me right now, but it's okay because you're a fictional character.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if I were in your position, I wouldn't know what the hell I was doing either. So you know what? Let me just, like, move on with my day. Mad at them for 5 seconds, and then I'll be like, it's fine, they're fictional, moving on.
Have you watched The Bold Type?
I haven't. But
you should
watch it.
It's really good. I really liked it.
Oh, I used to see, like, it, like the adverts come, like, you know, it's like still being, like, filmed, like, live. Like, I used to see all those adverts, and, like, and, like, hearing people, like, talk about it, I was like, oh, it's like one of those shows that, like, I overlooked, like Schitt's Creek. Because, like, my best friend used to watch Schitt's Creek, and I'd be like, what on earth is this? This looks so boring.
No, it's funny.
Like,
Schitt's Creek is funny.
David.
Yes, ew, David.
Love this for you, David. Like, I never watch it that much, but, like, I've seen a certain episodes, and my sister and my mom love it. I'm just like, David.
You should watch The Bold Type. You very much like Kat.
I know that there's 2 white girls and one biracial girl, and they're like lesbians. The two of them were like, two of them are sleeping with each other.
No, that's not what's going on.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm just getting confused between my white main characters.
Yes.
Which one's Kat? Is she the brown one?
Yes.
Okay. But it's very typecasting of it, but I'll take
But you should watch the show. Because I don't want to say what happens in the end, but, like, in the end, she does something, and, like, she becomes something, and, yeah, I could see it. I could see it. You should watch the show. It's very good. It's very good.
But, yeah, it's like, I don't know if you guys are, like, familiar with this author, Joan Didion.
No.
She recently passed away, like, at the end of last year.
I've been
reading, like, a lot of her works now. Like, I read Slouching Towards Bethlehem, and then there was another one that I read. Oh, it was Where We Are From, and I just love her style of writing. It's like, that's the type of thing I want to do. I'd like to write what I like, and every time I say write what I like, I think of Steve Biko. I love Steve Biko. I love learning about Black consciousness, which is also why I'm like those are, like, the avenues I'm interested in.
Would you like to book?
I would write a book, yeah.
Ooh. You could write a book that's like a collection of essays. You know?
I thought of that a lot. And then, like, maybe I'd write a children's book, but mainly just for my own interest. You know, when I said I peaked at age 5, I think I literally did in my brain as well. And when I said I'm 12, like, there's this show, I don't know if maybe you're familiar with this because your brother is like, Hey Dougie?
No.
I think it's hilarious. It's like all these, it's like one of the CBBs, like, programs. And it's like these little animals are like, my name is Peter Squirrel, my name is Peter Crocodile, and then there's like this dog who's like,
why are you watching children's shows?
Dog, and it's like their teacher, or, like, you know, like their, like, ringleader. It's like their not like a den mother, but like they're,
oh,
like, their scout leader or something. It's like, woof, 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 woof. And my sister and I watched one of their episodes, just like a compilation on YouTube of him saying, woof. And we were laughing. We were like, this is the funniest shit ever. It's like, my mom always says, little things amuse little minds. So when I laugh at stupid stuff. And then she's also like, oh, empty vessels make the loudest noise. Because it's like, I find the smallest things entertaining. I'm just like, like, I can literally just entertain myself all day. Like, this is what goes on in my brain. It's like, I love being alone. It's also, it's a double-edged sword. Like, lockdown was amazing for me, and it was horrible. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Because I learned how to be alone, and I learned how to occupy myself. Now I feel like it's become a problem, because now it's like my social battery gets drained very easily.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
like, people.
Oh, you.
Like, you want me to go out twice in one night?
That's how we feel.
I'm like, why would I do that to
myself? You know, so funny, just like, like half was doing, Tara was like, I want to take a nap.
Like, my friend was like, we like sat there eating, my best friend was like, is phoning me, and she's like, what are you doing? Come over. Like, she did 3 minutes, like 3 minutes away from me. And I'm like, I'm playing Sims right now. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm really busy. And she plays Sims as well. So she just plays it. She's like, I understand. It's fine. Do your thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Kimber, in your 21 years of life, you've learned a lot. What is your biggest piece of advice that you've gained from your 21 years of life that you would like to impart on our listeners today?
Ooh. I think, and this comes from, like I said, like being a mentally precocious child and being what my family would refer to as an ofro. So I like to call it ofro mentality. It's just, I don't know, it's just like, don't be in a rush. Like, it's very easy to be like, I want to do this by the age I'm 25. I want to have it. Like, oh, going back to the question about, like, when do you want to, like, have these things? Like, marriage, like I said, I'm like, no. It's also, it's like, I don't, if I find, like, someone that I'm like, oh, you have good genes, you know how to do maths, let's have a child. I'm going to do that. And I prioritize being a mother over being someone's wife or someone's spouse. Like, I don't care when I get married. Like, I can be 50 and get married for the first time, I'd be like, oh, girl. But it's like, I want to have to do, I care more about being a mom than being someone's spouse.
I think that's a good thing.
Or being someone's partner. I'm like, if you want to get child support, that's okay. But I'd rather work until I'm like in a position to take care of myself, a child, a house, maybe a dog. And then be like, okay, cool, it's just going to be us. Yeah, but yeah, just like, don't be in a rush. Like, there's so much that's gonna come and that's gonna go. Like, especially for you guys, like, you guys are in matric.
Oh,
and it's like, if I could go back to matric, I don't know if I would, because I'm also very big on, like, okay, the past happened, I'm not gonna dwell on it too much. Because it's also like past continuous, which is a phrase I'm hearing a lot right now in German because of grammar. But like, the part, it's like, you know, time is fake. Guys, time is fake.
Time
is cyclical. It's non-linear. It's just always happening. The past is happening, the future is happening, the present is happening. It's all one big mumbo-jumbo melting pot of time. But, like, don't be pressured or swayed by, like, outside voices or external narratives or projections that other people are putting on you. Like, it's very easy, especially, like, because, like, you know, our parents mean well. Our parents really mean well, because it's like, you know, they wouldn't have brought us into this world against our will. I always say that to my parents. I was like, I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask like to be an expensive person.
I just am.
You guys asked me. You made this me this monster. But it's like, you know, they mean well, especially with like brown parents. It's like especially like old parents.
Like, I see the intention. It's not really giving the vibe you want to.
It's not giving what it was supposed to give.
But I see it.
It's like, this is so bad, I want to give you a zero. But I can't, so
I'll
give
you
a
one. We all spend way too much time on TikTok.
But yeah, it's like, don't be too swayed. Like, you really just need to, like, and also, like, sometimes our own expectations that we've built. It's okay for things to change, and don't put so much pressure on the future. It's like, yes, it's important to know where you're going, where you want to go, have an idea of how it gets there, but don't be so concrete in your way of thinking and your way of execution, that when life does throw you a curveball, you just feel completely derailed and then you spiral, which is what happened to me in first year. Because it's like, especially with like people who are type A or perfectionists or will have anxiety, it's very easy for us to get into that sort of like A, B, C, D, this is the trajectory of my life.
There's no other way to do it.
And like, I just think of like this quote that it's like, you know, you can't spend your life thinking, is this the right or wrong decision? And is the universe going to punish me if it doesn't? if I don't, I'm butchering the quote now, but
if you don't make the right decision,
it's like no one is, like, the universe isn't gonna punish you, because that's not how it works. And especially if it's like, if you are a God-fearing person, if you do believe in God and you do believe that God has a plan for you, you also need to sort of just like trust the process. Trust that, like, you know, there is a life plan, but also you're working in conjunction at the end of the day. If plans get derailed, if things change, you need to be able to work with it and to move with life, because not everything's going to go your way. And sometimes taking those detours, it's the way that we learn the lessons. Like, the joy is in the journey, not the destination. And sometimes we think the destination will be its own joy, and sometimes it is its own joy, but sometimes it's not. And you just need to really be flexible and just like let go and let God, or let go and let the universe, whatever you believe in.
Appreciate
yourself.
The journey.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just have to put it in power steering mode. Yeah.
Let it do its thing.
And like, that's not to say just like, because I feel like, especially parents like when they're younger, they're like, no, but you need to know what you're gonna do. It's like, yes, I have an idea, but it's like, the building blocks will reveal itself. You just need to have faith in yourself, in your life's process. Yeah. And if you know yourself, you know where you're gonna go. And knowing yourself is like a lifelong thing.
Yeah.
It constantly is evolving.
So small.
So knowledgeable. Maybe they're gonna use this podcast recording in your reality TV show one day.
Maybe.
The start of being a celebrity.
Yeah.
Inshallah, ameen.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. What's your Instagram handle? Do you want people to follow you?
Yeah, they can follow me.
We'll link it, but just say it as well.
It's my name. So it's Kimber, but there are many little dots. So it's k.imb.e.r. Kimber. Someone said, like, the other day, they were like, they typed in my name into like the Instagram to try and find that. They were like, you were the first person that popped up. Then Kim Kardashian. I was
as
like,
you should.
As you should.
My life goal is complete, you guys.
As you should.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thank you for coming.
We were really excited.
I've really been like pressuring them for like so long since. So I was like, the first time I heard the podcast, I was like, Clara, I want to be on you. And I did it, because if you held it long enough, it will manifest itself.
Okay.